DK, I don't think you're you don't look very well. I think you should get you off the. Can you? I want you off the podcast.
Listen, Phelpsy, I'm staying on. Staying on this podcast.
Honestly, this is for your own good. I think
you are not dragging me off this podcast.
You don't look right. You don't. You sound like you got a bit of a throat. You don't look right.
Listen,
you look poorly.
I'm fine. Get on with this. Someone's got to tip the winners here. I'm going to be tipping the winners. You just sit there. You're not managing this podcast. I'm managing this podcast. I'm staying on.
Mark, what do you think? Do you think he should come off or stay on? All right, you can stay on. It's fine.
The Punt Podcast, Midweek Edition.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
Mercy.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One in 17-10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Great, the boss is up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. Their odds against. Love it, love it, love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes. Listen on Audio Boom or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Welcome along to The Punt, midweek edition. My name's Lee Phelps. Dave Kellner is here to tip up the winners. As he has already promised you, we're going to look at a few TV games and maybe a couple of other bets around in the Premier League this midweek. Tuesday night's a bit slim pickings, isn't it, DK?
It's not the best night of
Premier
League football.
How do they pick a TV game on the Tuesday night?
It was difficult, I think. Newcastle at Burnley is the one they've opted for.
11-10 Newcastle, 14-5 Burnley, 9-4 the price for the draw here. Newcastle 15th, Burnley 14th. There's 2 points separating the two of them. Newcastle got a better goal difference. But these two teams are hovering above the drop zone. I suppose Burnley are 6 points clear. Newcastle 4 points clear. Newcastle got that win at the weekend. And I listened to the game on the radio, and the new signing could have had a hat-trick in the first half, by all accounts. What do you expect from this one? 11-10 Newcastle? Fancy that at home?
It's a little bit skinny for me. He was fantastic, Miguel Almirón, at the weekend. And I think Sean Longstaff, we've got a couple of Newcastle fans that work for the racing radio programme, Alex Dunn, who watched the game on Saturday, and Craig Forsyth, who goes home and away most weeks.
Very positive Newcastle fans, aren't they? Oh, well, never moan.
He's wanted Rafa out for about 18 months. So every time he puts a positive tweet up about Newcastle, the response is hashtag Rafa out, basically, because Rafa Benitez has done a terrific job. They brought Almirón in as their record signing. Sean Longstaff, people touting him as a future England central midfielder. And Craig Forsyth thinks he's going to captain England and become the all-time leading goal scorer for club and country as well. But he did look fantastic at the weekend. I thought he was a standout player. I know Almirón got the headlines, but Longstaff was brilliant. He's 11-2 to score any time in this game. And Newcastle have really picked up recently because they were in that position where it looked like they were going to have to really fight hard to stave off relegation. Not so much anymore. They got that 3-0 win mid-January against Cardiff. Then they had that surprising win at St James's Park against Manchester City, winning 2-1. They drew at Molineux against Wolves, and they recorded the highest expected goals total of the weekend when beating Huddersfield. So 2-0 was the least they deserved in that match. Huddersfield didn't have a sniff. Newcastle were sensational, particularly when Huddersfield went down to 10 men. So I can understand why Newcastle are just a shade of odds against here. But do you want to back Newcastle at 11-10 against a Burnley side that are going well at the moment?
Well, not particularly. No, I suppose not. I've got a lovely one for you here. Regular listeners to The Punt will know that you're a big fan of Rondon. I always have been. The man himself has scored 3 goals and assisted 1 in 4 Premier League starts against Burnley. Although all those came when he played for West Brom, not Newcastle. But he's got a little bit of a love affair against Burnley. One of the enhanced offers is around him as well. If you fancy the Rondon and Chris Wood both to score, was 6-1, now 9-1. Burnley to score in both halves was 9-2, now 6-1. And Newcastle to win by 2 or more goals was 3-1, now 7-2. What are you going for?
I'm going to go for the draw in this game. Burnley unbeaten in 2019 in the league as well. Ashley Barnes looked fantastic at the weekend in that 2-1 win against Spurs. He's actually scored a second half goal in 4 of Burnley's last 5 Premier League away games. So one for in-play bettors there if you're looking for Ashley Barnes to score late on in the game. And Chris Wood's got 3-2 as well. So I actually fancy a lot of Newcastle's games at home. You expect them to be pretty dour, drab affairs. But I think this might be quite entertaining. I'm going to go for a draw in the game and both teams to score in the match, which is available at 16-5. I can understand why people would be going for Newcastle to win this game. But I think given that Burnley unbeaten in this calendar year, and their away form is reasonable as well. Went to Manchester United and drew 2-2. United scored twice in the last 5 minutes to rescue that point, and went to Brighton and won 3-1. They've beaten Huddersfield on the road in January as well. The only game they've lost away from home this calendar year came against Manchester City, and that was no disgrace in the FA Cup. So I see Burnley making it difficult for Newcastle. I think there's goals in the game. I'm going draw on both teams to score 16-5.
Yeah, looks like a decent bet, that one. Three other enhanced odds across the games on Tuesday. As well as Newcastle-Burnley, you've got Leicester versus Brighton, Huddersfield-Wolves and Cardiff-Everton. Over one goal in each of Tuesday's four Premier League games is 3-1, enhanced from 13-5. A goal in the first half of each of Tuesday's four games is 5-1 from 18-5. And a goal scorer one, if you like a goal scorer treble, Vardy, Jimenez and Richarlison all to score 18-1, enhanced from 11-1. Mm. Wednesday night, we've got a TV game Chelsea versus Spurs. And we're also going to look at maybe the games involving the top clubs, Crystal Palace versus Man United, Liverpool, Watford and Man City, West Ham. But let's look at this TV game, first of all. Golden goal match as well, this one. If you've not played golden goal yet, good fun. You get paid out as a winner in cash if your team scores first. This is online only, this one, on the 90 minutes. So if you back a team to win in 90 minutes in the game at Stamford Bridge, if you back Chelsea, for instance, and they score the first goal, but they go on to lose the game, you still get paid out as a winner up to £50. Whether they win or whether they lose or draw the match.
That's nice.
I do like it. It's good. The match itself, Chelsea 11-8, Tottenham 2-1. The draw 12-5. Pochettino was not a happy bunny, was he, after their result at the weekend, understandably so. They've got a good record recently against Chelsea. They're looking to win three consecutive league games against the Blues for the first time since a run of five, which was between 1961 and 1963. So it just shows you what a sign Chelsea have had over Spurs. Chelsea, God knows what's going on with them at the minute. I mean, we'll come on to the League Cup final shenanigans in a second. They failed to score in three of the last four Premier League games. The last three league games have produced 15 goals, five per game. The Blues won 5-0 against Huddersfield and lost 4-0 and 6-0 against Bournemouth and Man City.
Unbelievable.
It's crazy. The manager, you know, whether he lost control on Sunday, you know, with the goalkeeper refusing to come off, whether it was a misunderstanding, it just doesn't look good, does it? You know, Chelsea going into a game of this calibre, they seem to be all over the place. Tottenham, you'd hope they'd bounce back because that was a bad defeat at the weekend. But this is the kind of game that they would bounce back in, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think the both managers have struggled to keep their cool, obviously, because Mauricio Pochettino has apologised for his behaviour towards Mike Dean at the end of that Burnley match, which they lost 2-1. And Maurizio Sarri has completely lost that dressing room, because it's not only the goalkeeper Kepa who's at fault there, because if the senior players need to rally around their manager in a situation like that, and Cesar Azpilicueta is the club captain, or not the club captain, but he was captain that afternoon in the absence of Gary Cahill, and he didn't go up to Caper and say, listen, what are you doing? He should have been dragged off by the scruff of his neck.
Well, Luis was talking to him twice, wasn't he? Like, why didn't he just grab him?
Well, precisely. A lot of Chelsea fans think that Antonio Rudiger's the likely to assume the captaincy at some point in the future. But it will be interesting to see if Kepa starts this game, because it's kind of been brushed under the carpet by Maurizio Sarri. He's claimed there was a misunderstanding and that Kepa had cramp, and then Maurizio Sarri acted and was going to bring on Willy Caballero for the penalties because Kepa had cramp. And then Kepa suddenly decides he wants to stay on, apparently. That's what we've got to believe here. But you look at Maurizio Sarri and you look at the reaction of Gianfranco Zola, it's just not true.
No, weird.
It was so strange. And how they will react coming into this game is open to question. And I think Chelsea look they look mighty short in the market at 11-8 against the Spurs side that are 10 points clear of them in the league. I know Spurs had that reverse on Saturday afternoon, but prior to that, they'd been coping incredibly well in the absence of Harry Kane and Dele Alli. Dele Alli is likely, he's questionable, he's likely still to miss this game, but Harry Kane will be back, and you think he'll be returning to something like full fitness now. Chelsea set up so defensively in that League Cup final. It will be intriguing to see if they are that negative in this game against Tottenham Hotspur. The draw stands out to me. Biggest of the three prices at 12-5. I just can't see Chelsea winning the game, and I wouldn't want to be on them at 11-8.
Yeah, Kane had a couple of chances at the weekend as well. I think maybe if he was fit, he would have scored at least one of those. Kane and Hazard to both score was 9-2, now 6-1, one of the enhanced prices, which you can see. I can see people wanting to get involved in that. Spurs to score in both halves is 4-1 from 16-5, and Chelsea to win by two or more goals is 4-1 from 7-2.
Yeah, I think the negative is Spurs away from home recently. They got beaten in that League Cup game against Chelsea at Stamford Bridge back in late January. Then they went to Crystal Palace and lost in the FA Cup. Then they went to Burnley and lost in the Premier League. So that's three consecutive losses away from Wembley for Spurs, which is a bit of a concern. And obviously Chelsea got what looked like a confidence-boosting win against Malmo. But I mean, they were 1-6 to win that game against Malmo last midweek, won it 3-0 in the end. Prior to that, they put in that dismal display against Manchester United, where Manchester United were comfortable 2-0 winners. And Chelsea, he's been accused, Maurizio Sarri, and I think rightly so, of having no plan B. His setup is stubborn. He's still playing N'Golo Kante out of position. He says that that's because Jorginho has the passing ability, the range of passing in that position that he wants, and N'Golo Kante doesn't have that range of passing. But we're talking about the best defensive midfielder in world football, arguably, being played out of position continually. Mm. And I think it's only a matter of time before Maurizio Sarri leaves the club. And there's something rotten to the core at Chelsea, because player power just dominates.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter who's there. There's this culture that's ingrained in the club now. And it's got to be changed for a manager. It needs to be, the next manager to come in needs to have a complete clear out, I think.
But there have been a lot of strong managers at Chelsea.
Yeah, I know. It's bizarre, isn't it?
It's just the owner is rules of roost. He must listen to the players more than he listens to the managers.
Well, we've seen that with David Luiz in the past, because David Luiz, when he's been there, his two spells at the club, has got Abramovich's ear. And it's an impossible situation for Maurizio Sarri. And no matter what you think about the manager, you've got to show him a little bit of class and respect in that position. And Kepa didn't, and none of the other senior players did either.
No. This is a great stat.
Go on.
And I think you're going to like it. I'm using this stat to put up a bet that is 4-1. Right, Christian Eriksen has been involved in 15 goals in 17 Premier League games played on a Wednesday.
Right, okay.
7 goals and 8 assists, including 2 assists against Chelsea in January 2017. 4-1 to score any time. That's the sort of bet I like. And then when it romps in, I go, yeah, great start. And then when he didn't get anywhere near the goal, you just forget about it, don't you?
Yeah, obviously. That's what this podcast is all about, isn't it?
it's a beautiful start. I really enjoy it. So you're going for the draw?
Yeah, I'm going for the draw.
Would you chuck both teams scoring there?
Both. I think this will be tight, actually. Yeah, I do think this will be tight. I just think Chelsea will defend, and the way Maurizio Sarri sets them up. And I think Spurs, now that the league is beyond them, they will just be happy to control a spot in that top four. Mm. And I think a point away at Chelsea is a good result.
There'll be a few people eyeing up an acker on the Wednesday night. The games are Arsenal-Bournemouth, Southampton-Fulham, the Chelsea-Tottenham game, as we've discussed, Crystal Palace-Man U, Liverpool-Watford, Man City versus West Ham. I mean, you wouldn't go far wrong just sticking all the big clubs in and leave the Chelsea-Tottenham game alone and go for Arsenal, Man U, Liverpool, Man City. Would you be tempted on that?
I don't fancy Man U. That's the one that I don't fancy. But just because they're the walking dead at the moment, aren't they? I mean, they had those three injuries in the first half against Liverpool. They're likely to be without Juan Mata, Ander Herrera, Anthony Martial, Marcus Rashford. And Crystal Palace are in red-hot form at the moment. I know that Derek is particularly critical of Roy Hodgson on this podcast. and the, I mean,
he could win the World Cup, couldn't he? And he'd still be critical of him now.
Yeah.
He's a bad man, Derek.
Absolutely, he's a bad man. But you look, and I think Manchester United's success since Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's taken over has been because Nemanja Matic and Ander Herrera playing in behind Paul Pogba has freed him up and allowed him that license to go forward at will. And without him, I think he has to be a little bit more defensively minded, Paul Pogba. Mm. And without Jesse Lingard, Matteo Darmian won't play, Antonio Valencia still out, Marcus Rojo still out. So they have lots of issues at the moment. And Palace have been very good recently. They're unbeaten in the Premier League since they went to Anfield and unfortunately lost that game 4-3. Since then, they've beaten Spurs in the FA Cup, they've beaten Fulham, won the last two games in the FA Cup away at Doncaster, and 4-1 at the King Power, which consigned Claude Puel on Sunday. I think Crystal Palace can win that game, and I'm pretty confident with Palace. I think they'll beat Manchester United on Wednesday night.
Interesting one. So would you go for the other ones that I listed there? It's going to be a fairly short trouble because Man United are 13-10. So I think people get sucked into that 13-10 and will back Man United. But then if you go in Arsenal,
I can imagine that.
Arsenal, Liverpool, Man City. I mean, even with you're using your bet boost, you're only getting a smidgen over even money.
Yeah, it's over even money. Yeah. Though. I think it should land.
Yeah.
I'll be interested to see how Liverpool play against Watford because they were so subdued on. Weird, on Sunday. So strange.
You look at the recent Premier League form, and what's 3 draws and that 1 win against Bournemouth in the last 4 against Leicester, West Ham, beat Bournemouth well, 3-0. They need a win, don't they? Because City, it's still in Liverpool's hands, the point ahead, but City, that Newcastle defeat apart, they're flying, aren't they? 6-0 against Chelsea was the last game, remember?
Yeah.
So you'd expect
I think it's tough times for Liverpool because a lot of people were saying, well, Graeme Souness said after the game he thought Liverpool played well and that it's never a bad result to come away from Old Trafford with a point, and the crowd were energised. It's the most manic I've seen that crowd for many a year at Old Trafford, but they had McTominay and Pereira playing in central midfield alongside Pogba. That's a very inexperienced central midfield lineup, and Liverpool had Mohamed Salah and Sadio Mane and didn't create anything in the game. So I was very disappointed with Liverpool, and it will be interesting against the Watford side that are coming up into this off the back of a 5-1 win. I mean, it takes a brave punter, I think, to get stuck into Liverpool at 2-9. I'm sure many will, and that treble that you mentioned at around about even money, Arsenal, Liverpool and Man City, I'm sure will be popular. But just a note of caution with Liverpool at the moment, I don't think they're playing that well.
Don't forget to use your bet boost. You can use it on trebles and bigger. Just make sure you're logged in, and that boost button will appear next to your Acca. Just a quick mention there. DK mentioned about Leicester sacking the manager. The next permanent Leicester manager odds are on the website. As we record this, Brendan Rodgers is the 5-4 favourite. Mike Stowell, 7-2. David Wagner is 7-1. Michael Appleton, 8s. Same as Roberto Martinez and Rafa Benitez. Then you've got Sean Dyche at 12s. Neil Lennon, 14s. Nigel Pearson 16-1, 25-1 and bigger. The rest of them, I'm looking to see if Robbie's on here. Robbie Savage, no mention. I thought that'd give him like a 200 in there, but no sign.
I think it'd be an unbelievably good fit for Brendan Rodgers because he loves working with talented youngsters, and they've got loads of them at Leicester. And
makes sense, that doesn't it?
Yeah, Robert Huth has been scathing in his critique of Claude Puel's management and said that he was just too negative with the players he had under him at Leicester City, and I've been very impressed with Harvey Barnes. I think he's the one player that Claude Puel's managed to get a real tune out of since he came into the team, and I think it'd be a great job for Brendan Rodgers to get, because he's not going to get a top six club still, and I know there's all the talk of the Decima at Celtic, but do you need to really win 10 in a row at Celtic? Does
not
matter?
Proving anything, are you?
Especially
with Rangers out of the equation for so
and
long.
Leicester are an ambitious club that want to win more trophies. It just seems like a perfect fit for Brendan Rodgers.
I can't have La Decima when it comes to Scottish football. I'm trying to think of what a Scottish equivalent would be. I can't think of one at the minute. Answers on a tweet to @dkellner. Just so you're aware, if you're having a bet on that market, caretakers and interim managers are deemed winners if they take charge for 10 consecutive competitive games, or if the club indicate the manager will be appointed to cover 10 or more games, such as the way football clubs appoint managers these days. Is there anything that really stands out for you, DK, in terms of one that you'd really like to back this midweek in all those games?
I think Palace really stand out to me at 21-10. Nice. I think they obliged at 5-2 at the weekend away from home against Leicester. I think they'll win at home against Manchester United. I know that some people might want bigger than 21-10, but Manchester United are plagued by injury at the moment, and it's going to be difficult for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer to field 11 fit players on Wednesday, and I like Palace in that one.
Don't forget, we've got super odds this midweet. We've got flash odds. There's the bet boost for you to use, and the golden goal match, Chelsea versus Spurs, all available at williamhill.com and on the app. Thanks, DK.
Thank you, Luke.
An absolute pleasure. The guys will be back before the weekend with the weekend punt with Derek McGovern, one of our guests from the FWA, in tow as well. Whatever you're betting on this midweek, very best of luck.